Well, we're just going to sit and talk for a minute. Don't be afraid.
Yesterday I was driving around town. It was snowing yesterday. You might have noticed that, huh?
I was driving around town with my oldest daughter and two oldest granddaughters who were 14 and maybe 11.
We were driving around town and never mind what we were doing, but I got in the car to do something. This is the reason why my kids were afraid to come to church, because I was talking about it. And I got in the car and had done something, and what the heck, we're all saying, Julia, the 11-year-old, and when I finished doing what I was doing, and I went to get back in the car, and I was all covered with snow, because what I've been doing, I've got a truck stuck in. Anyway, I was all covered with snow and cold and wet and everything else, and Julia's mother said, Julia, please get out so your old grandfather can sit in the front. And so Julia obediently got out of the car. And I said, thank you. And I got in the front and then we started to drive off and I realized Julia was still standing behind the car. And I said, what's she doing? And her mother opened the door and said, Julia, what are you doing? She said, well, you said to get out of the car. I said, no, well, get in the back seat. Well, why did Julian do that? What do you think? What did your mother say?
Get
out of the car? She was trying really hard to do the right thing. She only heard a part of her. She didn't know, so she got out of the car. Well, we're going to do the same thing as a coach. And then China walked on the side of the road. But she was really trying to do the right thing. But she was really trying to do the right thing. And maybe you guys really try hard to do the right thing, huh? I mean, here you are at church on Sunday. Yesterday afternoon, it was about 80 years ago before I was... 80 years ago, I was about your age. And I don't remember a lot, but I think I remember what it was like to be 13 or 14 years old as a boy. Yesterday afternoon, one of the neatest things in the church happened. And after we finally got Julia back in the car...
We drove down here to the church yesterday afternoon when the
Bella James puts in dancing classes going on. And if you haven't come, I encourage you to come. And I sat there watching. And like I said, I remember a lot about being 13 or 14, but I remember one of the things when I was, this was kind of a warning, 13 or 14, was you're really afraid of doing the wrong things. You really want to fit in, and you don't want to do the wrong thing. So you know what was happening at the dance class. All the girls, whatever it's like to be a 12, 13-year-old girl, I don't know. All the girls were out in the middle of the floor. And you know what all the boys were doing? we were being cool. Because we didn't want to do the wrong thing. And Bella Jean, in kind of a friendly Bella Jean way, was going up to the boy saying, oh, come on, come on, come on, come on, you can make it. And the boys would come
out on the floor. I don't want to. I got to touch her.
And within 5 minutes, they were, even though nobody knew what they were doing, they were having a grand time. And just smiling and laughing and dancing well. But see, they didn't want to do the wrong thing. And that's why they're all standing there like this. You were afraid.
changes. See all those people there? They're afraid of doing the wrong thing. Even me, I'm holding on to this piece of paper, so okay, that happens. So I won't do the wrong thing. They keep getting afraid we're going to do the wrong thing. Now, what's that over there? Anybody know? No, there are the wooden thing in front of the nose. Anybody know? That's a baptized thing, yeah. And even though I won't talk about it, today is a liturgical trivia question. How many sides are on the baptismal font? And the smart aleck of the 8 o'clock said two, inside and outside. In case you thought the 8 o'clock was a serious service. There's eight. Now, who knows why there's eight signs on the baptismal font? I don't know. What was
in case you had locked
up. No? Look at your second reading. Who was the second reading? How many people were in New York?
Eight.
There you go. Okay, I think you learned something today. That most of the time, baptismal fonts always have eight signs. Because there's eight people in New York. And it all comes from the second lesson this morning. But anyway, this morning's gospel was about... Anybody know what it was about? Anybody know what it was about? Anybody remember what it was about? Jesus' baptism. And here's something to notice about Jesus' baptism. When Jesus is baptized, he hasn't done anything. He hasn't healed anybody. He hasn't fed 5,000 people with dry fish. He hasn't done any wonderful sermons. He hasn't done any of that stuff yet. So what's the very first thing that happens after the heavens open and the birds fly on? God the Father says, I love you. He hasn't done anything. He's loved for just being who he is. Wednesday night, do you know who I met? They were sitting right where you guys are. Aha, take this back to the Southeast. I met Elvis. Elvis?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. There was a mother and a grandmother and a little baby. Where were you all sitting? I said, hi. And baby was maybe 2 months old. And I said, what's his name? And she said, Elvis. And I said, oh, glory. And she said, no, you may know this more than I do. She said, Elvis is Swedish for wisdom? And I have no idea. But okay. And Elvis sat there and he's doing really fine. Elvis didn't do anything. Hasn't done anything. I always cry, eat, have to change diapers. But he hasn't done anything. But he's loved for just who he is. Whether he had to change his diaper or not, Elvis is loved. Whether he cries or not, Elvis is loved. Similarly, all of you guys, you're loved for just who you are. Julia would have been loved whether she got out of the car or not. Even though she thought she was being abandoned on the side of the road, she got out. Baptism. Jesus, when we're baptized, there or wherever, Father, look at us and say, I love you
for just who you are. For just who you are. Whether you do anything right or not, I love you.
This is the season of Lent, which is an old word for spring and has nothing to do with the old one. Somebody asked me that once before. And what it's about is all of us, one way or the other, trying to remember that we're loved for just who we are. It's not what we do, it's who we are. Once upon a time, there was a brave and holy lady named Dorothy Day. She was a Catholic writer and mystic and activist. And she once said, because of baptism, the Father looks at us and sees only the Son, and therefore loves us. And so, we are to see only the Son in others, and not love them. Lent is to help us remember that. Does that make sense? So you don't have to do anything right this Lent. All you have to do is remember that you're loved. At the least, what that rainbow says is God saying, I love you. It's just that simple. What's the name of heaven?
I
is love. Whether she walks in it, calls in it,
I love her.
You love her too. There. That's it. It's that simple. Can I just keep talking? Can I tell one more story? This has nothing to do with anything except St. Matthew's trivia. Once upon a time, all the records of the Episcopal Church are buried in Austin, Texas. They keep all the old records. Here's a piece of St. Matthew's history trivia for you. Mr. Benninger was the first priest here at St. Matthew's. He came from New Jersey. He was, thought he was going to go to China, but he ended up in Fairbanks. In 1904, 1905. And in Austin, Texas, you can read the letters between Mr. Benninger, the first priest, and the National Church in New York City. I don't know how the mail system worked in 1906, 1907. But there wasn't a phone system between Fairbanks and New York. And the mail took a long time to get from here to New York. So the letters are between Mr. Benninger in 1906, 7, 8, 9, and the National Church. And I was reading those letters about 15 years ago when I was in Austin. And the National Church, here comes the parable for the day. We're all trying to find our way to the Father. And when we find the Father, we can just rest and relax. And she doesn't have to do anything to give up. Anyway, the National Church wrote Mr. Benninger and said, why haven't you written back and thanked us for the donation of $80 for the new baptismal font for St. Matthew's? And however the letter took, it arrived to Mr. Benninger. Mr. Benninger wrote back and said, what new baptismal font? And the next year, the National Church wrote and said, the new baptismal font that we sent you that Mrs. So-and-so donated $80 for. This correspondence went on for 7 years. The National Church writing Mr. Benninger and saying, you forgot to thank us. And Mr. Benninger saying, what new baptismal font? And they finally tracked it down. So this is sort of the first baptismal font St. Matthew. But the way things used to go up here was they shifted from the East Coast to the West Coast and stayed in the warehouse in San Francisco. And then when the warehouse got filled, it was shipped up the coast and around to St. Mary's and up the Yukon and Santa River, by the way, right in the Fairbanks. And then once we know we love, we go back. There was an earthquake in San Francisco, 1906, and everything in the warehouse got destroyed. So that's why he kept writing and saying, what baptismal font? But it took him like 7 years to sort that out. That's the story of the first baptismal font of St. Matthew's. It got lost in the San Francisco earthquake. Trivia for the day. Now, I don't know how to segue into the next part of this.
Yeah.